Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It's our culture unit again today. We're going to continue talking about the Baba Nyanyas, a blend of cultures, which is a culture that exists in Malaysia and Singapore and also Indonesia. And we talked a little bit about the concept of migration, people moving from one country to settle in another. This happened some time ago. People from China went down to Malaysia mainly and parts of Indonesia and Singapore and settled there and sort of created their own culture, a blend of cultures, and we're referring to them as the Baba Nyanyas.
Yeah, we found out that Baba is a title that's given to men and Nyanya is given to the women. So that's what those stand for. And like Tom said, they've really blended their language, their architecture, their fashion, their cuisine together with elements from their home countries and those from their new countries. So we're going to move on and keep talking about this. Today we're going to focus on clothes, which I like, and also some food, which I also like. So let's get started. Tom's going to read through this particular unit, day two of ED Unit 7, and then we'll be back to talk about some of these terms, some of these phrases, so you'll understand a little bit better.
At the time, most Nyanyas adopted the traditional Malay costume, the baju panjang, a long dress worn over an elaborately decorated batik sarong or wraparound skirt. To distinguish themselves from the lower classes, wealthy nyanyas ornamented themselves with expensive jewelry such as silver brooches, pendants, and hairpins. Their slippers, featuring European floral designs, were often decorated with glass beads sewn on by hand. Babas, on the other hand, wore Chinese-style tunics embroidered with gold thread. Like other aspects of the Baba Nyanya culture, the cuisine is a delicious blend of Chinese, Malaysian, and European styles and flavors. Many of the dishes are made in the Chinese wok, a deep round pan with ingredients that are native to Malaysia or Indonesia. As the culture developed around the same time as the spice trade, these dishes often include tastes of cloves, turmeric, and tamarind. Furthermore, many dishes are made with coconut milk, resulting in an aromatic blend of sweet and spicy flavors. Some Baba Nyanya dishes are particularly worth checking out. Nyanya laksa is a curry noodle soup made with coconut milk. It's traditionally made with shrimp, but can be combined with chicken and can include cucumber, clams, and fish balls with a healthy dose of chili paste. Nyanya guay, a type of bite-sized cake originating from Malaysia, are made from glutinous rice and coconut milk and are often eaten throughout the day. They come in many different flavors, ranging from sweet to salty to spicy, and their colorful appearance makes them popular with children. The Baba Nyanya people are a fascinating example of the marriage of customs. They give us a glimpse into how unique groups can develop as global migration continues and new families, traditions, and cultures form.
Okay, guys, for the first paragraph, we're going to focus in on fashion or clothes, especially for the women, of course. Now, at the time, most nyanyas adopted the traditional Malay costume or Malay costume called the baju panjang. It's a long dress, and it was worn over an elaborately decorated batik sarong, or what that translates into is a wraparound skirt. Now, if any of you out there know batik, you know it's a special way of dyeing fabric or dyeing material. And what you do is you would put your pattern on the fabric in wax and then use dye. And every place that you had the wax on the fabric, it wouldn't accept the dye. And that makes the pattern. Some of the batik cloth I've seen is really beautiful. And the sarong, of course, is that wraparound style skirt or dress, which is very popular, not only in Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia, but India has something similar as well. We wanted to mention, though, that these particular costumes, the baju panjang, is usually worn on special occasions. For an example here, like a wedding. I went to a wedding and all the girls were dressed up in these batik sarongs, which are beautiful, I have to say. And of course, like most countries, they have a class system, and those that are higher class and a higher social class want to set themselves apart from the lower classes. How did they do that, Tom?
Well, basically, they would ornament themselves with expensive jewelry such as silver brooches, pendants, and hairpins, and this is all a part of the action of elaborately decorating yourself, as we said before. First of all, they would elaborately decorate themselves with a batik sarong, and then, of course, they would distinguish themselves by wearing all this expensive jewelry. So, yes, going back to this word elaborately, if something is elaborate, that means it's quite complicated. It involves all sorts of different things. I could describe Chinese temples being elaborately decorated. There are all sorts of sculptures and paintings and various things on a Chinese temple.
Kind of fancy versus plain, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, lots of detail.
And again, they were doing this to set themselves apart from the lower classes. We don't want to be associated with you lowlifes, okay? So yes, they wanted to distinguish themselves, to set themselves apart, and they ornamented or decorated themselves with expensive jewelry, okay? So ornaments here can be a noun, like at Christmas time, you're going to put Christmas ornaments on your tree or Christmas decorations, but here we're using the word ornament as a verb, which basically means to decorate yourself, to ornament yourself with these articles of jewelry, brooches, which is what, something you wear on your chest?
A little pin,
usually
yeah.
Usually kind of round.
Kind of old ladies wear those a lot.
Yeah, my grandmother wore one of those in her wedding picture or something. That was a long time ago. And a pendant, of course, that's something you wear around your neck.
It's another word for necklace.
Yeah, you can have probably lots of diamonds there, and also hairpins that go in your hair. And of course, they're not going to be the ones you buy in the night market. They're going to have lots of gemstones on them, maybe gold plated and stuff like that. They're elaborate hairpins and pendants and brooches and bracelets and you name it, they were wearing them.
I wanted to mention this distinguish, you could use it to talk about telling people apart. I grew up with a pair of twins, and it was very hard to distinguish Susan from Kelly. They look so much alike. It was tough. So you can use it like that as well. So we're talking about slippers now. They had these slippers, and the slippers featured European floral designs. Floral just means flowers are included in that design. So if you talk about floral patterns, you know you're talking about flowers. And these were often decorated with glass beads that were sewn on the slippers by hand, not by machine. They didn't have big sewing machines working to put those glass beads on. It's handwork, which takes a lot of time. I have seen these slippers, and they're quite lovely. Now, babas, on the other hand, remember, babas refer to the men. They wore Chinese-style tunics embroidered with gold thread. A tunic is a shirt or a vest that comes down quite long. I love tunics. They go past your waist and past your bum in the back. I own some tunics, not Chinese style per se, but beautiful tunics they had, and they were decorated or embroidered with gold thread. So that would make them quite expensive and quite beautiful.
Yeah, I can imagine them having the Chinese-style collar and the buttons that are not like Western buttons, but they're more like a knot or something.
That collar is called a Mandarin collar.
Mm-hmm, indeed. It's kind of like the Sun Zhongshan shirt or something. That's what people tell me.
Yeah.
In any case, that's kind of what he was wearing at one time. So, yes, so that's what the men wore, or the babas. They wore those tunics. And if you embroider something, again, you sew some kind of thread in there to create a design, like patches, for example.
It's called embroidery.
Right.
I used to do it.
In Chinese, right?
Yeah, I used to do it when I was young.
Mm. Yeah, it seems kind of complicated, though. I don't think I could, you know, spend
Boys
so much
don't
time.
Usually do it.
Yeah, just you got to spend hours and hours on that kind of stuff. It's just, I don't, who's got that kind of time? We got to go out there and make money and stuff. But in any case here, that's what they wore if you were in the upper classes and you wanted to distinguish yourself from the lower classes.
Uh-huh.
Now, like other aspects of the Baba Nyanyan culture, the cuisine is a delicious blend of Chinese, Malaysian, and European styles and flavors. So we just got done talking about the clothing here. And I'm imagining this was probably the clothing they wore hundreds of years ago, but nowadays they don't really wear this stuff except on special occasions.
Mm.
But that's not true of the food, okay? The food is still alive and well.
Yeah.
And if you go to some place with a lot of these people around and you can stop in one of their restaurants or in a market or something like that, you can probably enjoy some of these dishes. These are some aspects of their culture, the cuisine. So an aspect, of course, is a feature of something. So we just talked about one aspect of their culture, the clothing. This is another aspect or another feature of this culture, and that's their cuisine, that's their food.
We often use aspect to talk about a part of something. Maybe you're presenting a new proposal to your boss, and you've been assigned one aspect. You're going to kind of explain this part. Another colleague will explain another aspect or part of that proposal. We use aspect as a part of something as well as a feature of something. So this cuisine is supposedly quite delicious. I haven't been to this part of the world yet, but everybody talks about the food in Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia as being quite delicious. They make the dishes in a Chinese wok, most of them. And you all know what a wok is. It's that deep, round pan where they use a lot of hot fire underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
And they use ingredients that are native to Malaysia or Indonesia. If an ingredient is native to a place, it means that's where it originated. It grows there. They don't have to go to the grocery store and buy spices that were imported from other parts of the world. Nope, they grow right there in Malaysia or Indonesia. We're going to keep talking about some of these dishes, guys, but first, we're going to take a quick break, listen to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back.
Hi everyone, my name's Jenny. 好，我们今天要继续看第七单元，我们要谈娘惹文化。这是一个什么样的文化呢？它其实多彩多姿，中西合璧。你可以看到欧洲的文化元素，也可以看到亚洲的文化元素。首先我们谈到 language 语言部分， architecture 建筑部分， fashion 时尚部分，还有在 cuisine 饮食文化方面，这四大面向都可以看得出来这样的特色。前面谈过了，包括所谓语言，包括建筑的方面，今天我们就要来看 fashion。 诶，提到 fashion， 当然这个跟服饰很有关系。其实娘惹他们穿的是传统的马来服饰，不过这只是其中的一个部分而已。他们穿这种长的纱笼，仔细看，他们会戴珠宝，然后他们的拖鞋的样子是欧洲的花卉设计哦，这又带进了西方的元素。我们又提到了，那如果是爸爸们呢？诶，男性他们穿的那是中式的长袍，所以既有中又有西，这样子的文化融合面其实是很丰富的。那我们来看一个片语，我们说到这一边有钱的女性，她要跟这些比较低下层的一般民众区隔的时候，诶，他们会怎么做？这个片语To distinguish themselves from, distinguish A from B, 那就是区隔 A 跟 B 这两个。那这边的 to 当然表示一个目的，为了要达到这样的目的。接下来我们再来看，提到了服装，接下来就是第四个面向，我们要谈饮食。谈到食物啊，食物的文化其实跟前面三个都一样，我们又看到了中西合璧的部分。很多菜其实他们炒菜的时候用的是中式的炒菜锅，但是呢 里面呈现出来的口味那又不见得了。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
All right, everybody, are you ready? Let's continue with our lesson. Where we left off was the food. We were talking about the food, the cuisine of the Baba Nyonya people in Malaysia, Singapore, and Indonesia. So as it continues here, as the culture developed around the same time as the spice trade, these dishes often include tastes of cloves, turmeric, and tamarind. Those are different kinds of spices or seasonings that you can find, I guess, locally there in Malaysia. Cloves, I think that's dingxiang in Chinese. You've also got turmeric, which is jianghuang, and tamarind, which is luwanzi. So those are different kinds of
spices, yeah.
Spices or flavorings,
yeah.
Or herbs, I guess you might be able to say, that you can find in this part of the world. Makes sense because these Chinese people are settled there. They could wait for weeks for stuff to come from China, but they thought, what the heck? The stuff here is just as good. Let's work with that.
Yeah, these in particular would qualify as spices. They're very strong flavors. My mom would use cloves when she was cooking at Christmas, but turmeric and tamarind, they're very exotic to us, at least in America, but they make really good tasting dishes. Now, some Baba Nyonya dishes are particularly worth checking out. One is very famous, and if any of you ever watched Anthony Bourdain's travel shows or food shows, you know that he loved laksa, and there could be really tasty laksa, but sometimes I know he would run into a laksa that he didn't like, and he would tell you about it. I've never eaten it, but it sounds delicious. It has curry in it, noodles in it, and they make it with coconut milk, so it has a very exotic flavor. It's traditionally made with shrimp, but you can put different types of meat or fish in there. You can put chicken in there with the shrimp if you want, and maybe some cucumber, clams, and fish balls. I like fish balls. And you also have a healthy dose of chili paste, which makes it very spicy. Now, when you see that phrase, healthy dose of something, it means plenty of. So if you don't like spicy food, got to be careful with the chili paste. So a dose of something is quite a bit. We use dose when we talk about medicine. Maybe you have a cold and your doctor gives you a bottle of cough syrup and you're supposed to take 2 teaspoons full of that. Well, 1 dose is 2 teaspoons full. We use it sometimes more figuratively. Oh, my boss is quite serious. I wish he could take a dose of the chill pill, which would get him to relax a little bit, but a healthy dose, just plenty of chili paste.
A quantity of something, as you said, usually of medicine. You need to take 3 doses of this medicine per day, for example. But here it just means a portion of chili paste. Not too much, but not too little either.
We don't use it for food that we eat, so be careful. Maybe portion, as Tom just defined this as, we use that with food, but not with medicine. We use dose with medicine.
Yeah. Don't say a portion of medicine. That's weird. But you could also say a dash of something. That just means a little tiny bit of something.
Yeah.
But this is a little bit more than a dash,
it's
a certain dose of chili paste. Of course, it kind of depends on your personal preference. Some people like food to be really spicy. Some people like it a bit more mild. But yes, this could be a dose of chili paste. A dose, you could say, I'm going to give you a dose of your own medicine. Or, gee, you're living in a fantasy world. You should have a dose of reality and wake up and smell the roses, smell the coffee or whatever. But in any case, that's one particular dish here. Nyonya laksa. Now, here's another one. Nyonya gui. Is that how you say that? But in any case,
I heard it was gui.
Okay, nyonya gui. Okay, sounds good. It's a type of bite-sized cake originating from Malaysia. And they are made from glutinous rice and coconut milk. and are often eaten throughout the day. So again, this is a bite-sized cake, which means small pieces of cake that you can eat in one bite. And they're from Malaysia. They have originated from Malaysia. That's where they came from. And this is how you make them. You use sticky rice or glutinous rice. And then you also have coconut milk. And you can have them all throughout the day. Sounds kind of like a snack.
Yeah, they're actually quite beautiful. I looked up what this was on the internet, and I saw green cakes, yellow cakes, really colorful packaging. I can see how it would appeal to people, especially children. And I was surprised also to learn that it comes in different flavors. I just assumed it was kind of a dessert, but they have lots of flavors. They range from sweet to salty to spicy. Notice here we've got a range that uses three different adjectives instead of two. Usually we say, it ranges from high to low. It ranges from hot to cold. But here we've got, it ranges from sweet to salty to spicy. You can do that as well. When you have a range of things, you have a variety, and they're quite different from one end to the other. So I think the weather in Taiwan ranges from very hot and humid to very chilly and humid. That's our weather. But they have a very colorful appearance, as I said. Check out pictures online. You'll see some of the crazy colors they come up with. Usually our food is quite boring, right? But they have used some of these spices to really make the color pop or stand out. The colors are very vivid, so the kids love them.
Looks like they might go good with tea.
Yeah.
But you'd have to learn from the Malays, or at least the Baba Nunya, to find out exactly how you should eat these. But again, they range from different types of flavors, sweet, salty, spicy, etc. And kids love them. Now, the Baba Nyanya people are a fascinating example of the marriage of customs. Okay, so if we describe them as being fascinating, that means they really get your attention. You go, wow, that is so cool. I want to learn some more. It's extremely interesting. Fascinating things to learn if you're traveling around the world. Fascinating things to learn if you go to Kenya or someplace like that. Lots of wonderful, fantastic, outstanding, amazing things that you could learn if you travel. And yes, the Baba Nunya people are a fascinating mix of Chinese and Malay culture altogether. So yes, it's worth checking out if you have time. Hey, head down to your travel agent and make your reservations right now before the seats are all gone.
Sounds like a fun place to visit. So they give us a glimpse or a quick look into how unique groups can develop as global migration continues and new families, traditions, and cultures form. Remember, we're basing their new culture on their old homes that they leave, and their new homes that they come into, they adopt culture and tradition from both of these places, which makes it kind of interesting. So if you do move to a new place, try to assimilate. Try to grab some of the culture of your new home and put it into your life. You know, I lived in New York for quite a while, and my next door neighbors had been in New York City for 25 years, and the mom still didn't speak any English. So it's good to try to adapt to your new home. Pick up some of the language, pick up some of the culture. And one of the biggest parts of culture for me is the food that you find in different cultures. I'm loving Taiwan, loving the food for sure. And you can enjoy your life a lot better if you can, you know, adopt some of the culture of your new home.
Absolutely. And this is just one example of a people migrating from one place to another and then sort of creating a new culture.
Yeah.
When they arrive there.
So this, a fusion, remember?
A fusion, indeed. So I'm wondering what other kinds of fusion of cultures there are out there in the world, if you can go check them out. I wonder if there are any fusions here in Taiwan, you know, maybe the Hakka and Taiwanese getting together and creating new and interesting dishes or something like that, or how the food changed when it came over from the mainland to Taiwan and they adopted to local traditions, maybe borrowed some ideas from the Aboriginals or something like that. It's all interesting, worth checking out. Okay. Well, let's bring our Chinese teacher into this now. So, hey, Chinese teacher, what do you got for us?
饮食里头为什么会有西方的元素呢？我们来看看，这跟 spice trade 有关。Spice trade 就是香料贸易。其实有些香料是从西方进口而来的。 这边呢提到了像 cloves 丁香 turmeric 姜黄，还有一个我们叫它是罗旺子的 tamarind。 那我们来看这些香料进来之后，当然也改变了你的料理。在东南亚这一些地方，他们有椰奶这种味道，辛辣香甜的味道全部混合在一起，所以有很特殊的东南亚味道。那我们再来看几道我们特别要拿出来跟大家说一说提一提的，这边就提到了拉萨，我们台湾连泡面都有进口，也许你已经尝过了，我们大概知道所谓的拉萨，它是由椰奶制成的咖喱汤面。哇哦，说到它是一种 curry noodle soup made with coconut milk。首先呢，我们要描述这个 soup， 说它是用什么做出来的 made with。 看到这个 made， 它是一个过去分词哦。好，那接下来它又继续介绍，说到这种汤面它可以放什么，有虾子，有鸡肉，还可以放小黄瓜，放蛤蜊，放鱼丸，然后呢 with a healthy dose of chili paste。哇哦，我们通常讲 healthy， 那是健康的，可是在这个地方，那可是表示大量的。嗯，这是有关 Lhasa 面的做法，但是后面又提到另外一种料理，大家也都知道的，就是娘惹糕。谈到这个娘惹糕，说到它是怎么样来的呢？注意到 a type of bite-sized cake originating from Malaysia， 这个地方我们注意到 originate。这是动词，但是你注意到这里是一个 V-I-N-G， 所以我们要顺便跟前面两个来做比较一下。提到刚刚说的 a curry noodle soup made with， 这是过去分词，因为它是被用什么做成。但这一边提到一口能吃得下的糕点是来自于哪里，这个 originating 它表示一个主动语态，起源于哪里？所以当你变分词修饰语的时候，就是加 ing 现在分词了。主动跟被动大家要特别注意。再来，他提到这个糕点有甜的有咸的，而且色泽鲜艳，所以小孩子们特别爱。最后我们就要说，谈到这个爸爸娘惹人，他们这种不同的习俗之间这样子的紧密结合，其实是一个很有趣的例子。而且呢，我们也可以从这个文化里头看到怎么样的这种全球迁徙的状况，其实一直都在进行中。最后留意一个小片语，就是 a glimpse into。 glimpse 是匆匆一瞥，换句话说，一窥究竟，稍微看那么一眼，知道它的究竟。我们今天的讲解就到这边结束，我们下次见。
That's it for today on our unit on culture. Thank you so much for joining us, and please join us again next time for another edition of our very fine program. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye. See ya.